Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I've got an old school episode today where I'm doing three sort of quirky topics related to travel. So first is my recent trip to Prague. I want to share how awesome it was at sunrise to see that city. Second of all, I'm revisiting Oktoberfest. I went in 2014 at the end of my two-year trip, and there were some wild and funny stories from that I thought I'd share for you for a laugh. But the reason for that is I went back there on my trip after Czech Republic and Prague. I went to see some travel creators for Oktoberfest this year. And thirdly, I want to discuss something called the travel fitness. It's a theory of mine. I don't know if you suffer from it or have it or not. So I want to discuss that as well today. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, and unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala, or camping under the stars in British Columbia. I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places, and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips, and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, what if I just went for it and traveled? If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. So, Prague. Now, this city has been written about, storied about, talked about, videoed about all over the internet, and it's no surprise that everyone has heard about Prague. And what a city, the capital of Czech Republic. A very popular destination for Brits growing up, to go there for stag do's or bachelor parties and bachelorette and hen do's as well, and also great for that central European vibe and great value for money. So unbelievably, I was going there for the first time this year, and I flew from Vancouver to Frankfurt direct flight. That's overnight. And yet again, I did not sleep a wink. That's not the first time that's happened to me. And I don't think I've ever slept on a flight. And that is a recurring problem for me, going from North America to Europe, because they always tend to be overnight. But there's a good side to that, which I'm coming to in a minute. And then I flew from Frankfurt to Prague, about an hour, and landed in Prague on an evening about 6 p.m. I actually arrived into Prague on a Saturday night, so busy weekend. And I stayed at a boat hotel called the Matilda Hotel. Now, I wasn't sure at first about booking this, but I thought, you know what, let's wing it and see what happens. I was kind of regretting it as I was going into Prague because I was tired. I was like, what happens if it sways too much and I can't get to sleep? Is it going to be that comfortable? It wasn't cheap either, so I was hoping it'd be good value. So I arrived Saturday night and I managed to get out just for a walk to get my bearings, get some local food, which was some goulash, which was obviously Hungarian, at a restaurant near the boat hotel. Quite a quirky restaurant. Went in, sort of ignored me. I sat down. I was like, yeah, any service? And then they kept looking, kept serving people, chat behind the bar. Wasn't sure what to do. So I eventually went up and got my own menu. And they said, oh, are you ready now? I was like, oh, I hadn't even looked. So yeah, ordered a goulash and a Coke to keep myself awake. But the tiredness was too much. A great goulash. Went to the boat hotel. It's quite warm because on this day in Prague, a couple of weeks ago, it was about 25 degrees. And the next day it was going to be 27 degrees on the Sunday, which I was exploring the city in. And I thought, oh, no aircon. The windows are open, but, you know, in this middle of Prague, people about, bit of water with the waves, and it was swaying side to side. I just wasn't sure. As luck would have it, a great hotel, and I managed to sleep perfectly that night and get up early next day. Now, the main part of this part of the conversation in this episode is the sunrise on a Sunday morning in Prague, because that was absolutely magical. Now, due to the jet lag and the time difference, I was up at probably 5 a.m. And I kind of thought, well, Saturday night, people are still coming back from their night out at that point. I'll wait until sunrise, which was about 6:45 in the morning. And yeah, 6:30, got myself showered, ready for the day, and popped out. An interesting mix of people on this Sunday morning. There are people with bags of beers, either coming from a house party or from a night out and carrying on. And there are people out jogging early, getting their fitness in on a great summer's day. And I kind of got the impression, based on the weather forecast, that this was kind of the last proper day of summer. So I thought, you know what? Let's get out early and see the city. Prague at sunrise is beautiful. I stood on the bridge by the boat hotel and just watched the sunrise come over the water. I thought, you know what? What about if I go and see all the sights I'm going to see today on my walking tour, but during sunrise, and just see if I can get in, get my footage, soak in kind of the history of it first before I go and delve into the chaotic walking tours that I've read about. So off I went, grabbed my camera, went across the bridge near the hotel, walked back into Prague, went to Charles Bridge, went across the water there to John Lennon's Wall, went into the old square, and that old square where you see the famous clock where they go off every hour to do the little play it does, you know, the little sculptures as a little play. That was pretty cool as well. There was no one about. It was absolutely magical and it was warm. And it's an interesting little tour for myself because actually on purpose I did not do much research on Prague. I wanted to hear about the history and the buildings on my walking tour, which I would do later in the day. But in this time of day, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk around and soak in the architecture. Don't know too much about it. I just want to look at it. Imagine what this place would have been like 300-500 years ago, and just wander. No real plan. I've got about 2 hours until breakfast. I'm just going to wander around the city and see what I can find. The breeze coming off the river is absolutely breathtaking. The views of the sun coming down just over the hill there of the Prague Castle was magical. I love the vibe of the city. I was like, oh, this is awesome. That Central European vibe is unrivaled in a city break. I get it. Weeks and weeks is probably too much. But if you're looking for a day break or even just a weekend away, I think Prague or Vienna, any of those types of cities in the Central European part of Europe is a dream. So I was wandering around, head up, soaking in the atmosphere, walking the streets, getting my steps in, enjoying the temperatures, going for a little trendy coffee as well, and just enjoying being in Prague. I'm actually going to release a YouTube episode to show you, because I don't think my words here are doing it justice. So if you head to Roaming with Hamo on YouTube, you can see what this looks like. But I got the camera out and took as many photos and videos as I could. I just loved the reflection of the sun as it came up on the water onto those old buildings. What a view. I met a random guy on Charles Bridge. He's from San Francisco. He kind of noticed me doing a bit of a bumbly intro in my camera on that bridge. And he said, oh, do you do YouTube? I said, yep, YouTube and a podcast. Check it out. Gave him a card. And hopefully he tunes in. And hello to you, sir. Prague at sunrise is recommended. If you are not an early riser, I get it. I understand. It's not my go-to either. But if you can, in the summer, before it gets crazy, crazy, crazy with tourists, get up at 6 and walk the streets. You won't be disappointed. The architecture is as clean and as uncompromised as possible. You can see everything with a clear view. The water ripples from the sun, and there's just not many people about as the city starts to wake up for the day. I imagine that'd be even better during the week. But Sunday was cool too, and I was very happy with my choice. And my overriding feeling at the time is it just feels good to travel again. I was only away for a week before I headed back to the UK. But for me, a week in Czech Republic and Germany was what I needed. I wanted to see somewhere new, get some great content, and just get that vibe of traveling again. So Prague at sunrise is a recommendation. The Boat Hotel called Matilda is definitely a good recommendation if you fancy that. Quite a fancy restaurant. In the evening that day, I sat in, well, it's quite a romantic setting really. It's like some flowers on the table. You're sitting on the boat, so your view is of the lights in the distance of the castle and the buildings across the river. It really is a top-notch view for a dinner around 15 to 20 euros, not that expensive. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to treat myself to a really good pasta dish and a dessert, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And yes, later in the day, when I joined my walking tour, which was great, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Lucy, who was on our walking tour, who led the tour. You can book with her on Guru Walk. To search for Prague walking tour. Great tour, learned so much about the history of Prague, of the Czech Republic, but it was so, so busy. And these walking tours are huge, could be between 20 to 30 people. And Charles Bridge, my word, you could barely move on that bridge at, what, 2 p.m.? So I was really glad to get there early doors, walk across it, and just soak it all in. The old town was worth visiting. The old square was absolutely heaving with people as we watched the clock do its little display on the hour. I somehow missed that when I was in the square early doors, but then again, I wasn't really paying attention to doing anything. I was just kind of walking and kind of soaking it all in. God, keep saying soaking. So Prague for me, recommend it. Sunrise, get up, see it. You won't regret it. Now, Oktoberfest. I dipped into Oktoberfest this year to see some cool creators, Chris and Sarah on YouTube and Adventures of Matt and Nat on YouTube. They're both my friends. I met them at TravelCon a couple of times. And they were there, coincidentally, for Oktoberfest. And I thought, you know what? Is there a chance I can join them? Yes. So I went and joined them after Prague. I went to Český Krumlov, an amazing little town, by the way. Well worth seeing that castle, cobbled street, little village and town along the river. And after that, I bussed up to Munich and went to meet those guys for Oktoberfest. I didn't get dressed up. I don't do dressing up or fancy dress. It's not my scene. It's actually up there with the top five worst things ever of all time in life for me. It's definitely something I'm not doing. Those guys did, and it looked great, I must admit. Now, the reason I'm coming back to Oktoberfest to circle it back round to 2014 is I had a two-year trip, which I mentioned on this podcast before. I went to Southeast Asia, Fiji, New Zealand, Australia for 6 months. I worked in Australia for a year, did a bit of travel within that year, then went to South America, bit of Caribbean and North America before heading home via Iceland to UK. But then from there, I had one last trip, and that was Oktoberfest. And it was the classic blowout trip. Please rate and review the podcast. And this is the easiest way to help the podcast. Go onto your app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Castbox, whatever you use. Just click that 5 stars, give me a rating. And believe me, that really helps the podcast. And if you want to leave a written review, you can also do that too. I love reading them, and it does help the podcast get a bit of traction. You can also support the podcast monetarily if you want. Buy me a coffee. A few people bought me a coffee recently, which I really appreciate. For $5, you can head to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, or head to buymeacoffee.com/winginit. And that's great too. And third and lastly, you can also share the podcast with your friends. Word of mouth. Let them know that this is a podcast that interviews people. Very casual, lots of travel stories, lots of travel tips, new countries, new cultures, new things to learn. And also chuck in these sort of episodes. And when I can, if I get the time, I do the immersive episodes, which I'm working on now for the next one, which is going to be Hornby Island, which means I collect sounds and put them together like a cinematic experience. I love doing those episodes. They take ages, but the outcome is spectacular. Let's get some money off the Australian credit card and go and enjoy ourselves for Oktoberfest. Now, I'm young at this point. I am 24, 25. Bear in mind, I've not seen my friends really in 2 years. And we hopped on a plane and got into Munich and checked into our hostel. Now, the stories from this are quite cringe, but it's par for the course if you're a youngster in Europe looking for that city break. I think Oktoberfest, for people who are non-Bohemian, so non-German, Czech Republic, Austrian, Swiss maybe, is a real interesting activity. It's this organized, pretty well-behaved event for a period of time in Munich that starts, I think, about 10:30, the doors open, and goes on till midnight, where you can drink as much steins, which are 1 liters of beer, as you want. And you can eat all the food and enjoy all the atmosphere as much as you want. Now, for me, being a non-drinker, as in I do drink, but not very well, this was going to be a problem. And I knew that early doors. So some of the stories from this are a bit weird. These are not in chronological order. The first one I do remember, and I've never seen a couple of my friends, one called Spax and one called Thomas Osborne, who's been a previous guest on this podcast, as much in this sort of hysterics as possible. They were beyond laughing. When you get to that state where you laugh and you can't breathe, it's that sort of state. In Oktoberfest, there's a band in the middle of the tent. You sit on your table, you drink your steins, happy days. Sometimes in local tents, they play local songs and that's great. But the international visitors don't know the songs, fair enough. But in some other tents, like we were in, they play international songs. And I think Sweet Caroline came on. So everyone got up on their bench and started dancing. Now, I'm not a small chap. I'm a pretty big guy. And some of my friends are as well. I don't know what happened here or the concoction of events. But we're dancing, happy days, drinking, steins in the air, all that sort of thing. And maybe some people jumped off, or maybe some people jumped on who are a liar, whatever it was. But the balance of the bench was on me. And this felt like time slowed right down. And as you can imagine, the bench starts to slip and it starts to sway one side. And before you know it, the bench is in my face. I have hit the floor on my side of the bench. The bench is in the air. In the air with the bench are the steins. I may have been jumping at this point, so I wasn't helping with that. Or I could have been stitched up. I don't know either way. Anyway, the bench comes up. The steins come up. They all somehow seem to miss me. And as I was dancing and realized last second, I fell back. Now, behind us are a group of older ladies, probably locals in their 50s or 60s. And I somehow managed to wedge myself into their bench head first in between two ladies. Steins and beer everywhere, all over their hair. What an absolute mess. That is funny as a scene as it is. But the reason my friends are in hysterics, because I fell head first into that bench and I couldn't get out. I was wedged in. I was literally head down, feet in the air, and I can't move. I'm really drunk at this point. It's a little bit embarrassing. I'm soaked in beer. The steins all over the floor. Our bench behind us is upside down. One of my friends just yanked me right out of there onto my feet. And I was like, what the hell just happened in those 5 or 10 seconds? And all I saw around me was my friends in stitches. Now, I apologize to the ladies behind me because I spilled beer over their hair. I've got beer in my hair. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I need to go to the washroom and dry my hair because I'm soaked in beer. As it would happen for that point of the day, meeting a friend of mine who was there with me, we're going to a Bayern Munich game. And I said to him, it's probably about time we leave, isn't it? He's like, yeah, I think, do you know what? That's a good time to leave those guys, leave this tent and walk out of there. So I stumbled towards the washroom, had the toilet, dried my hair, came back and we're like, let's go, let's get out of here. Totally embarrassing. Not sure the servers liked it either. They probably see a lot of international tourists do that, especially Brits who can't handle their drink like me. Classic, gave us a bad reputation, or should I say, kept it going. And that's me out of there. That's the first story I recall. Another story I remember is linking to that. On our way to the Bayern Munich game, me and my friend went to see Bayern Munich versus Paderborn. I believe it was 4-0. But we were so boozed up, no idea how we got there to Allianz Arena. We somehow made it to the right tram or train. We're singing with the fans on the train. We're singing Borussia Dortmund songs, which are the rivals of kind of Bayern Munich to an extent. We went up to the ground and went to the Bayern Munich shop and asked if they had a Borussia Dortmund scarf. That didn't go down too well. Somehow made our way into the stadium. And as you can imagine, as much as I love football, the beer sinks in. We're both just falling asleep on each other and we missed the whole game. 4-0, I believe. We may have seen one goal because the crowd might have cheered or something happened before the goal, but I think Lewandowski scored and it was 4-0. So that was a great activity to go and see and do on some people's bucket lists and dreams. Yet there we were, falling asleep because of too much beer and falling over on benches while singing songs to Sweet Caroline. Also in Oktoberfest, I do remember on another night, well, this was daytime actually. You go during the day in Oktoberfest because sometimes the nights in the tents are booked out, they're reserved for people. So my advice is to go to during the day, during the week, and you'll be able to get a table in the tents. Now, on this occasion, we did that. We got there about 10:30, maybe 11, and you start drinking, as you do. This is after the debacle of the falling over the bench. But this time, went a little bit too hard on this and probably had two or three steins, which for me is just too much. And I started to feel a bit queasy. Now, I went to the washroom in the tent. I don't know what tent this was. And I remember sitting on the toilet, having a number two, as you do, and then just feeling absolutely awful. And I was doing that classic thing, which I've done before a few times, which my friends do remind me of, where I sat on the toilet and was sick at the same time. Absolute carnage, disgusting. But what can you do? I was kind of almost like passed out on it. Anyway, somehow managed to get myself out of there, the toilet, clean myself up a little bit and left. But the problem was, the toilet attendants would not let me leave. They're like, no, you've got to stay there and clean that up. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, if you're sick, you're cleaning up. And I kind of said to them, well, what do you do? They're like, well, not that. I was like, So the cheekiness and the just ambivalence and the arrogance of the Brit abroad, not a fan of that, not proud of that, that came out. But there was like three or four of them. They kind of cornered me in. I was like, well, I've got no choice here. So there I was on my hands and knees in my own sick, cleaning it up. And you can imagine that's a pretty degrading moment of time. And it wasn't just a quick clean. I'd do a little bit and go to leave. Like, nope, you've got to do more. I was there for like 15, 20 minutes. And bear in mind, I could have been sick again because I was that ill. I was like, what am I doing here? So I managed to somehow clean it up, get out of those washrooms, and saw my mates on the table, said, yep, that's me done. This is only about 2 p.m. and I was off. And I somehow stumbled back to my hostel. I had no internet. I don't know how I got back. And I went to have a shower, nap it off. And then by 5 p.m., I was back out on it. So these were the early days where I could do that. And my friends were then coming back from a session, but I was like ready to go again. So I was in the hostel bar, meeting some Australians, drinking some beers there. So that's one of the other stories. So as you can imagine, these are all quite embarrassing. So I was kind of keen to go back and enjoy Oktoberfest again this year, just to see it from a more mature point of view and still have a few steins and yeah, enjoy myself. So we had a table in one of the tents, it's Augustina, I think it's called. And yeah, I had a couple of steins, but even then I was done. I was like, do you know what? I am getting a headache. I'm getting hungover already. I've drunk too much beer. You have to pay €4 or €5 for water a go. It's cash only. It's annoying me. So I enjoyed my time in the tents with Matt and Nat, Chris and Sarah. Such a good laugh. But towards 7 p.m., I was done and I was back towards my Airbnb. I was kind of done in by the headache at this point. It's more of a migraine, actually, so that didn't help either. I really wanted to stay out until the end, but I just couldn't do it anymore. That's age. That's me not being a drinker. And that's me kind of being a bit more mature and saying, no, no more. Let's crack on. So that's my Oktoberfest stories. I think there are a few more from Oktoberfest, but I can't quite remember them that well. But they're the ones that come to mind. As I reflect on those times, great laughs. I enjoyed them. I hope you find them funny and cringy at the same time. But that was good to revisit that for this podcast. I don't think I've shared those stories, so why not? Bit of non-PC stories for you. And to finish on this episode, I want to touch on a thing called travel fitness. I don't know if you believe in this. I noticed this on my trip, actually. People who go on holidays are used to this. It's kind of related to fast travel. If you're on a holiday or vacation for a short amount of time, and also I'm including long-term travel here, but the first 2 weeks, you need to get your travel fitness up. And what I mean by that is you're out and about, walking the steps, trying to get used to walking all the time, day in, day out, trying to take in new information, learn new cultures, try new foods, be engaged, and not to say, now I'm going to scroll my phone and stay in my room. So I believe it takes a few days to get this up to speed. Now, you can always try and get used to this at home, maybe the weekend before you go. Maybe you go and see a new area, new restaurant, new coffee place, a new activity, and try and build it up. But I don't think you can really build it up until you're actually doing it, because it's got to be something that's new and it kind of takes your breath away, which Prague did, to be fair. And actually the whole trip, Czech Republic, was amazing, and went to a few places in Germany. But I think for me, I was like, oh yeah, I'm just unfit. So that first day in Prague, I think I walked 27,000 steps. 27,000. And I got really bad chafing marks on my groin area, which wasn't the best either. A lot of information in this podcast. So I was like, oh, I'm just not fit enough. Now, I have been running and losing weight, so I'm fit in that sense. But, you know, learning new things, engaging with people, being adaptive, looking at new things, getting used to that step intake day in, day out is new. And I think it takes you a couple of days to get used to that. I think you have to push through, keep going. And after a few days, you get that travel fitness going and you're ready to take on the world and see new places. And I think, yeah, things you can do is long walks. I mean, go for runs, get fit as well. That does help when you travel. I see a lot of people, especially in Český Krumlov, where I was there in Czech Republic. It's a bit of a hilly town with those cobbled streets, not easy to walk on. And I saw a lot of people with walking sticks or hiking sticks just trying to get up these hills. I'm like, I don't want to be in that position when I'm in my 60s. So fitness is part of it, but I think being travel fit is also part of it too. So I think I've rambled on enough in this episode about some cringe stories, some amazing cities, and also a bit of fitness in there. So if you like those sort of things, let me know and I'll do more story time episodes. I've been doing them briefly as part of the podcast with the interviews, but I haven't done a dedicated one for a while. So I thought, you know what? Let's get this done. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I'll see you on the other side. And I've got a lot more content coming up towards the end of the year before I go away for a month traveling in December, which is pretty exciting. And I've got some more exciting news for travel, tours, and that trip coming up in a few weeks. Look forward to sharing those with you then. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode for another great guest. Catch you then. See you. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast episode today. If you've been inspired by today's chat and want to book some travel, if you head to the show notes, you'll see some affiliate links below, which help support this podcast. You'll find Skyscanner to book your flight. You'll find booking.com to book that accommodation. Want to stay in a super cool hostel? You'll see Hostelworld down there too. You'll find Revolut to get your travel card sorted. Click the GigSky link to get your eSIM ready for your trip. And more importantly, you'll find Safety Wing Insurance to get that travel insurance for your trip. There are many more to check out. So when you click that link and book your product, a small commission goes towards me and the Wiggin' It Travel podcast. Thank you in advance and enjoy your travels.
Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.